Daniel, one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I'm always encouraged when I read through it. There's portions of Daniel in the first three chapters. It's really exciting. And then some of it gets prophetic, you know that. And it gets a little bit maybe on the drier side, but then it gets kicks back up. And boy, I really like the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, if you're there. And we're going to try our best, and I ask, please pray for me as I preach, try my best to bring a message today in the world, not of the world. You know, that's a call of the hour today, and I don't need to remind you of this. We live in a wicked world, don't we? I mean, you think about today, the society in which we live, and it's sick. It's not just wicked, it's sick, it's twisted. And by the way, you follow every culture or great empire throughout human history, and you'll find right towards the end of the demise of that empire, they start doing things like we're doing in America today. Okay? You go back to the greatest empire probably to ever exist outside of America, and that would be the Roman Empire. You follow the Roman Empire, and you can find information on this all over the place. You follow the Roman Empire, you know the things they were doing right at the end before that empire destroyed itself, literally. I mean, there was no other nation or empire in the world that could defeat the Roman Empire. You know who defeated them? Themselves. Homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, all the things that they did. Not to mention those sins, but to mention the economic sins that they were committing. They were giving money out to people and to groups and to nations they shouldn't have been giving money to and hurting their own people. It's sad today, we don't even have enough so-called money or funds, FEMA, to send money and help down to the hurricane victims, but we miraculously can muscle and muster up money to give to our students in school that don't think they're a real boy, don't think they're a real girl, all right? That's the world we live in. We have a nation today, by the way, we're the leader of the world, and as goes America, as goes the world. We're going to find out real soon in November what's going to happen. Now, we'll come to our text here, and then I want to expound on a few things this morning about this very topic of being in the world, but not of the world, Daniel 3. Now, you know the whole story, and I, for sake of time, I won't read through all of it. But the king comes, you know, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he says, at the time you hear the music, at the time you hear all these things, you're to bow down. By the way, remember this. Music is a manipulative tool. How many remember listening to music back in high school and middle school? Some of you in the 70s, 60s, 80s, 90s. Don't raise your hand. I said this many times, but I was in the store recently again, and they always play music. And there was a song that I really like, and they were playing it. Boy, my foot started going. And then I, whoa. I like that song, man. And then it stuck in your head. I don't know why I can't get Christian song stuck in my head, but I can sure get the boot scooting, whatever it is. That's stuck in my head. Why? They know how to manipulate, don't they? They know how to play games with us, and there are certain tones, notes, frequencies. How many have studied some of this before? That the world uses to get in our head. If you know anything about music, you know that. There are about four chords that you can play that almost every song in the world is written by these chords. Not every song, but they're minor chords, they're moving chords, or chords that get your soul. Man, I like that. This is what he's saying. When you hear the music, you bow down. When you hear the music. Is it any wonder why the music industry today is coupled with our New World Order? You fellas heard of that? New World Order? The music is coupled together with it. Why are we making such a big emphasis on the Grammy Awards and other things? Why is it such a big deal? Why is our politicians meeting with and listening to ungodly people like Jay-Z and going and meeting with the, who gives a flip what they think? Why are we not figuring out what's going on? Now, again, I'm just saying, this is where we are today. And notice verse number 6, if you will. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down, worshiped the golden image which that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set up. Bunch of sheep, by the way. They're a bunch of sheep that just bow down, do whatever the government tells them to do. Oh, better do that. Oh, okay, better get the shot. Better get the do the thing. Tell us what to do. And by the way, if the public school system demands something from your kids, you have every right to tell them no. No, we're not doing that. They may kick you out or whatever may come to the point here real soon. We have every right to say no. Verse 8, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. I won't use the word. Thou, O king, thou hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, blah, 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 all these kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth, verse 11, not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the prince, providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, those names were given to them, worldly names. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? If ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the, there it is again, cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Underline this in your Bible. And who is that God? Not lowercase g, capital G. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And I like these boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not hesitant. That's what the word is. We're not intimidated. We're not scared. Please don't. We're not careful. We're not nervous. What do you want to know? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And underline this in your Bible again. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I like that. He will deliver us, but if not. See, God can and he can't. Maybe he won't. He might not take the pain away. He might not repair the marriage. He may not help you. Are you still going to serve him, though? That's what the boy said. I meet more Christians today, literally, that are used-to-bes. I used to. I talked to a fellow the other day. People get real nervous when I pull this out, but I don't care. I want to invite you to our church. Oh, okay, yeah. I say on the back there's some verses there that tell you how you can go to heaven when you die. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? When you use that word die, people get, oh, how dare you bring that up? I tell them it's my job. That's only, and then I tell them I'm a pastor. They go, oh, yeah, okay, that is your job. Okay. But I tell people, hey, but if not, notice what he says. If not, these boys lived in a wicked world. They were in the midst of Babylon. They were in the midst of a wicked society, and yet they said, oh, we're going to stand for Christ. How many Christians today cower when it comes to these things? As I was saying, I lost my train of thought there for a minute. The used to Christians, right? They used to. I used to be faithful, used to go to church, used to. Used to serve the Lord. Oh yeah, we used to. What happened? You know what happened? They expected God to deliver them from the burning fiery furnace, and he didn't do it, and therefore they got mad and upset and bitter, and they quit on God. You're going to have a bad day when you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat. That's all I'll say. And some of you are going to stand before Jesus real soon and give an account for this life. And it's going to be a sad day. What did you do? Well, I didn't know I was supposed to. Why weren't you in church? Well, I didn't know I should have been there. Why didn't you go? Why didn't you share the gospel? Why didn't you study the Bible? You follow on social media yesterday. All the social media posts, I was going through my I don't know why I do. It's so annoying. You know, do you find it annoying? But all my friends posting, oh, this team won yesterday, and this football team, man, it was a tough game, and all these things. And I thought to myself, aren't you supposed to be preparing for Sunday? I'm preaching against myself here. Okay. I think about that. Now, thinking about today, let's get back to this here, and I must hasten. I got about 15 points I need to get to. I'm kidding. We'll split it up in a few sermons. In the world, not of the world. I'm reminded of the old country boy that was visiting his family up in upstate New York. He was from the country, man. He had a southern drawl. He said, I'm not from around here. I'm just visiting family. And one day he's driving down the road and he saw a guy laying on the side of the road, bleeding, laying down on the sidewalk. He said, good night. He pulls over, gets out the car. That's southern hospitality. Are you okay, sir? You all right? You all right? No answer. The guy's out of it. He calls 911. 911. Yeah, this is 911. I need help over here. This guy's laying on the side of the road bleeding. Well, sir, where you at? Oh, I don't know. I'm not from around here. So go over and look and see what street you're on, and then we can send the ambulance. Called ambulance. He looked up and he said, I think it's Sequoia Street. Sequoia Street. Sir, I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying. Sequoia Street. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not from around here. I've got a southern drawl. I don't know how to say it right. Sequoia. Sir, I don't know what you're saying. Go ahead and spell it for me, and then we can figure it out. He said, S-E. I'll tell you what, I'll drag him over to Oak Street. You pick him up over there, okay? You heard that one before. not from around here. You think about it, I'm not of this world today. I'm just passing through. These three boys said, we will not be careful to answer thee in this matter. Friend, can I ask you something? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do people know that? I know it's hard to stand out and stick out. I know it's difficult. It's not easy. But do people actually know who you are? Do they know what type of life you live? You ought to stand out in this world. Your relationships should be different. You know all of this. Jesus reminds us of this. He says, listen, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You got to go into the world, be a light. You may not be a very big light, but I'll tell you something. The darker the night, the brighter the light. It's pitch black. I'm here sometimes, and when it's dark, it's black outside. But I'll tell you what, you can see a tiny light about 5 miles away. The darker it is. I'm not a big, real big light. I'm not doing a lot for God. Well, you can do a lot for God. You being faithful right where you are? You following through with what you're supposed to do? Oh, I like this story. Now, notice what it is. Number one, the command of this world. The command of this world. You will bow down and worship, or else. By the way, there's always threats involved. Now, I don't know what they're going to do here in November or in the following year, but we understand this. They may implement some things back upon us as a church. They may come back and try to close our doors and put a padlock on it. They may try to discourage us from doing certain things. And by the way, it's always under some guise, isn't it? Oh, it's for health reasons. It's never been about health reasons. Oh, it's, you know, we want to make sure and do this right. No. You understand today that this wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, he'll later confess with his own mouth who the God of heaven is. Amen? So it doesn't matter. People ask, why do you pray for politicians? Why do you pray for the president and vice president, as wicked as they are? The Bible commands us to. See, nobody's outside the reach of God. Nobody. This is why we are consistent in sharing the gospel with people all the time, everywhere. That's our philosophy as a church. All the time, everywhere. Why? Because we don't put it past anybody. Oh, he's wicked. I told the story many times, but I love telling it because I saw walking down the road one day and I saw this kid. He was a gothic kid wearing all black, black paint, black lipstick. I mean, I looked at him and, good night, I'm scared of that kid. And there was a fellow I was standing over here, and he was well-dressed, you know, had a nice clothes on and such, and I said, well, I went over and said, sir, before I could even say invite you, the guy just shut me down. No, get out of here. I went, good, all right. So I talked to the kid. Kid was open. Oh, I've been thinking about that. You know, in fact, I've been trying to find the truth. I don't know what the truth is. I just want to know what the truth is. Nobody's past the reach of God. Amen? God's looking for people to be faithful in this generation. He's not looking for fickle, fake, fraudulent. You can't even get people to come to church these days. You can't get them. There is right now, as we speak, 65,000 people in a stadium somewhere watching a football game, sitting next to a bunch of drunk people, loud. They're sitting in the sun. Can you imagine? And they pay $350 for the nosebleed section tickets. Can't get people in church. Wonder why. Could it be that we're chameleons fitting into the world? Do people know you're a Christian? Do people know that you are someone that stands for Christ? Do people even know you attend church? Do people even know you believe in Him? These three boys did. They said, we will not be careful to answer the command of the world. The command of the world is to follow, to bow, to bend to their standards, to their ways. Proverbs talks about this and says, don't be given to change. Don't be meddle with them. Don't hang around those people that are given to change. Don't fear evil men. Why? Because they're always changing. It's always some new fad. It's always some new thing you have to follow to fit in. Why don't we just come back and stick to this good old King James Bible? Just stick to this book. Say, I want to follow the Bible and do what God told me to do. You'll be fine. You'll come out just fine. The command of the world. The commission of the world. They not only command you, but they commission you. They give you what you're supposed to do. If you follow and go on the website today, whatever you're looking for, the government has a set and list of things you're supposed to be doing right now. You shouldn't be offensive to other people. You should watch your tone of voice. You should be careful when you see people that are maybe on the, the effeminate side. You should be careful about how you approach them. No, not what the Bible says. We're not caustic and mean-spirited and, you know, boasting and hurtful to people. We're trying to reach them with the gospel, but we will not follow what they stand for. They give you a commission to say, go forward and follow me. Go with me, if you will, to Esther. Esther, chapter 4. I love the book of Esther. Esther, chapter 4. Notice verse 16. Now, you know this story. Esther 4, verse 16. Here's a young girl that lived, by the way, again, in a wicked society. Remember, they're in captivity. She, by divine appointment, gets the opportunity to marry the king. Out of all those girls, he marries her. And she's living her life, by the way, pretty happy. I mean, she's got everything she could ever want. She's got servants that are serving her. And then God comes and tries her. And notice what, this is her response, remember, to the story that's happening, unfolding. There was a decree put out to literally commit genocide against the Jews, which is happening as we speak right now. Missiles and rockets are flying into Israel as we speak right now. These individuals, Hamas and others, they don't want to kill Jews. They want to annihilate Jews. They want to commit genocide. They want to get rid of all Jews. Nothing new, by the way. Nothing new. Now, notice what she says. Go gather together all the Jews that are present at Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. Now remember, if you walk into the king's court and he has not extended his scepter to you, that means approval. Come on in. You just walk in, hey king, what's up? You immediately have committed a trespass against the law and they take you out and execute you. They did this all the time. She walks, even the wife, if I perish, I perish. One of the most famous quotes in the Bible. You know what Esther's saying? I live in a wicked society. But I want to stand for truth. If I perish, I perish. Now today, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. They may start arresting people for preaching the truth, but probably not. I mean, you think about it. We don't have to make a statement like, if I perish, I perish. Esther knew that if she walked into the king's court uninvited, she would probably be murdered. She could be. And she says, I want you to go and fast for me for 3 days. I want you to pray for me. I want you to take care. Make sure you're seeking God for me, because I'm going to go into the king, and you know the rest of the story, and beg him and plead him to consider what's going on. She goes in and tells the king, do you not understand? Well, she invites him to the banquet and all those things, that this wicked Haman has set up and is right now in the process of trying to murder the Jews. Well, what's the big deal? What's it matter to you, Esther? She says, I myself am a Jew. That wisdom from her uncle Mordecai. By the way, you ought to listen to the wisdom around you. Some of you older folks, praise God for you, but you can get wisdom from younger people. Some of you younger people especially. Some of us? Can I say us? Okay. You can get wisdom from older folks especially. Well, I don't like what they have to say. Listen to them. If there is a man or woman that studies the Bible and loves the Lord and is faithful to God, you ought to listen to what they have to say. And her uncle said, listen, Esther, you better realize something. Do you think that if this happens, if he starts murdering Jews, they're going to save your life? No, you're going to be with us. And she says, wow, you're right. I'm going to go forward and follow the Lord and do what he's called me to do and say, if I perish, I perish. I don't care. Now think about this throughout human history. We've seen this story play out many, many times. Many people throughout the world, especially during World War II, many of the individuals that we read about that stood up for the truth and stood for the right cause and especially stood for the things of God were murdered. We see it throughout the world today. In fact, right now as we speak, there are many people around the world, especially in Arab-speaking nations, that are standing up for Christ and because of that are being persecuted. In China, communist China right now, there are hundreds of thousands of Christians that believe just like we do. In Korea right now, North Korea, South Korea, both, standing for the things of God like we are today and being persecuted for. None of us have been persecuted for standing for God. Let's just be frank about it, okay? I mean, some of you have arthritis right now and a headache and you go, Brother Tim, hurry up, wrap this up, I got a headache. But that's about the extent of it. Some of you haven't slept in a while. That's the extent of it. I'm saying today, we may proclaim to stand for God in a wicked world, but do we live it? Do we live it? Do we live it? I have many verses, but I must keep going here. I must keep going. Go with me to Hebrews 11. Let's keep walking through the Bible here. Hebrews 11. We've looked at this many times before, but Hebrews 11 is a great hall of fame of faith. I love Hebrews 11. And he talks about this. Verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. Notice by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, what did he do? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, why? Pharaoh and Pharaoh's family and Pharaoh's court and Pharaoh's military and Pharaoh's politics and politicians, all of it, were representatives of the world. Egypt, in your Bible, the word Egypt is always a type of the world. God says to the nation of Israel, he says, I brought you up out of Egypt. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I brought you out of the world. Moses says, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How rude is that? She rescued him out of the river. She raised him. They gave him everything he'd ever want. They provided his education for him. He got to the age where he said, you know what? They represent paganism. They worship the god Ra. You studied this guy before? They still have statues of it over in Egypt. The god Ra was a god that you sacrifice little babies to on the altar. Moses said, that's not right. Verse 25, choosing. If you're going to choose the things of God, you must refuse the things of the world. If you're going to choose right, you have to refuse wrong. You can't have the two together. Remember what Jesus said? You can't straddle the fence. Well, I live in the world here, but I also follow Jesus. I talked to a family member recently. I understand that you're a pastor and you go to church and you preach the Bible. I know all that, but I don't know if it's necessary that we go like way over here. I don't know if it's necessary that we're like super religious, right? I mean, they don't understand the scriptures, do they? Jesus doesn't ask us, he demands us. He commands us to what? Come out of the world. You can't have both. Jesus says what? You cannot serve God and mammon. That's materialism and money. For ye will hate the one, love the other. You will despise the one and hold to the other. See, it's not God manipulating, oh, you better not serve that or I'm going to cast judgment. No, it's me. My human nature is that I can't serve both. I can't do it because why? I'm going to fall in love with the world. And you find that to be true. Choosing, notice rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, excuse me, the pleasures of sin for a season. I choose rather to suffer than to enjoy. Pleasures of sin is always seasonal. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. It's seasonal. It's seasonal. And Moses said, listen, I've had all the enjoyments of this world. I've had all the women I can, ever want. I've had all the riches. I've had everything I could ever want. And he got to the pinnacle at the top of the world. And at the top of the world, do you find this to be true? When people get up to the top, they go, man, it's lonely up here. You hear these athletes and these famous musicians and these famous actors and all these wealthy people, and they get up to the top of everything, and they're sitting on an $8 million yacht out in the Cayman Islands. And they go, my life stinks. I better use that word. My life stinks. Why is that? Why are they not at the top going, man, thank God I got all of this. I'm so happy. Woo! I get anything I want. Why? Because they realize at the top there's nothing. You and I chase the carrot every day. We run the rat race. And you think about, one day. How many remember when you first got married and you had no money? You know, you talk about those days. You don't talk about now. Oh, the good old days. Oh, I remember when we didn't have any. We had a one-bedroom apartment, ate ramen noodles and beanie weenies every night. That's what you talk about. Not when you were there. When you were there, you were dreaming about the day you are now. I can't wait till we get a nice car and we have a house of our own and we have kids and all these things. And we got to be careful. Moses said, I'd rather choose rather to suffer affliction with God's people. Why? Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Have you ever studied that? Esteeming, thinking about, calculating, estimating. When I sit and think, there's another word in the Bible called consideration. That's to sit down and think about where you are and what God's doing. Every morning you ought to use the word meditation. I want to meditate upon the Word of God. Why do you do that? Because it gets you back to where you're supposed to be. It aligns you every day. Whew, okay, I need to do what Christ wants me to do. He, what, esteems the reproach of Christ greater riches. Again, our riches aren't here. We don't get riches here. We're just passing through. We're not to get comfortable here. So if you're like me, sometimes I go, well, Lord, please give me a little break from time to time. Okay, help me out, Lord. He says, well, those are your bad decisions. And I go, oh, yeah, you're right. Our world, our treasure is not in this world, and too many people get so caught up in accumulating a bunch of garbage and junk, don't matter a hill of beans, don't matter anything, we ought to come back and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? What job do you want me to do? Where should I go? What should I do? Some of you dear folks that are retired, you're retired. What are you doing for God? I understand you've got a lot to do at your house. I know you're trying to take care of things and trying to manage the funds that you have now and trying to get by and trying to, some of you are on Social Security and you have some disabilities and such. I know that. What are you doing for Christ? A lot of people in here get up at 6:30, 5:30, 6:30 in the morning, work all day. They don't have a lot of time. And you remember those days. You worked very hard. What are you doing for God right now? What could you be doing? What could you be doing? Pray. I want you to pray this week. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm not saying sit home and watch TBN, okay? What could you be doing? What is it that you want me to do, Lord? Some of you in here that are still working, middle-aged, I know you're busy. I know you got a lot on your plate. I couldn't do your job. I'd be overwhelmed. You're doing so much. And on top of all of that, you're still faithful to God and serving Him so faithfully. But ask Him this week, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I want to fulfill what you want me to do. I don't want to keel over dead tomorrow and go, well, I should have done more. And that'll be the story for all of us. Should have done more. Moses said, I'm already up in years, Lord. I'm 80 years old in the backside of the desert. I've got my retirement. I've got everything waiting for me. I've got a pretty wife. I've got some girls that are grown up and they've got their own families. And he sat there and on the backside of the desert and watched the sunset. Man, life is good. And then he got a glimmer of something over to his right. It's that burning bush. What's that? Does God ever do that? He puts something in your heart and you go, wonder why I thought about that. I wonder why I thought about emailing that person and telling them I'm praying for them. And if I get a, maybe we could sit down sometime and talk about the Bible. I wonder why I had that thought about saying that to my child. They need encouragement. I wonder why I thought about writing them a letter. I wonder why I thought about, I don't know why. Why'd that pop? Don't disregard that. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. Do what He's asked you to do. And He went over to that burning bush, didn't He? And boy, His life changed after that. Lord says, I am that I am. And I want to send you to go to my people. And he went, Lord, not me. I'm not good. I can't talk well. I can't speak well. And He says, what's in thine hand? He throws it to the ground. You know that. Friends, remember, God is looking to use people, the exact things you have, the talents you have, the insufficiencies you have, the inadequacies you have, all of that God put in you for a reason, and He wants to use that for His glory. More people use excuses, myself, more people use excuses why they can't serve God. God says, that's why I want to use you, because of your shortcomings. Verse 27, let's go here and we'll wrap it up here. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured seeing him who is invisible. Here's a question. Who or whom do you fear today? A lot of people are people pleasers. Well, I do that. I fear God. You know why we're not bold in our faith when we walk out these doors? Listen, it's easy. Listen, Brother Tim, oh yeah, I can preach real strong behind the pulpit because I'm amongst a bunch of Christians. Put me out there in the world though. I don't know why it is all of a sudden I get real tight-lipped, you know. He says he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Listen, you are a child of Pharaoh, well, a child they adopted, of Pharaoh, and you forsake them, not only forsake Egypt, you actually come back years later as an enemy of Egypt. That's a big no-no. That's off with your head. You're done. But he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king. I don't fear the king. I don't fear the government. We don't fear the king and what they're going to do. We follow the book. If you'll follow the book, you'll come out okay. Now, it's not without trial and error. It's not without problems. It's not without persecutions and all these other things that will come. We know that. But we keep what God's given us to do. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 here and we'll wrap it up. 2 Timothy 3. As we walk through the Bible today, looking at this, we are in the world, not of the world. 2 Timothy 3. Oh, let me see where I am. Oh, verse 12. Yeah, let's go there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Now, you know this story. Paul is at the end of his life. He's about to be executed in that prison in Rome, and he's about to give his last words to Timothy. Notice what he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. might suffer persecution. Does it say that? Shall suffer persecution. It's guaranteed. Now, it's in different forms and ways. You may have to endure and go through some accusations or some kind of persecution like that. Others may have to have, and they did go through, persecution of physical abuse and ultimately murder and torture. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The deceivers are deceived themselves. Remember that. There is a god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay, so the deceivers are deceived themselves. That's why I say this. Remember, nobody's outside of God's hand. That's why we reach people, try to share the gospel with people. And shame on us for not doing that. Verse 14, but continue thou. Underline that. You see what he's saying? He says, Timothy, it's going to get worse and worse. And for these preachers that stand up and say everything's getting better and better and you can do more and God's going to bless your life for giving this amount to the church and he's going to give you the health that you're desiring if you'll just give this amount to the church. These are wolves. Okay, these are deceivers. Don't listen to that garbage. When you understand this, that we are living in the last days and evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. We studied entropy. Remember that? Everything is winding down. It's not getting better and better. Evolutionary thinking is that we started down here and it's gotten better, 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 better. No, no, no. Adam and Eve were the most intellectual people you've ever met. We started out up here. We're way down here today. One fellow recently, well, I tried to read the Bible. I couldn't understand it. My goodness. I mean, work a little harder at it, you know. You don't understand it, so you shut the Bible. Now think about this. Continue thou. Everything's getting worse, Timothy. The outside world is going to get deceived. They're being deceived. LGBTQ 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, A, B, C, D, whatever they got behind it, is going to get worse and worse. There's things that are going to happen, and things are going to come on the scene, and there's people that are going to deny Christ and deny the faith and all of these things and refute the Bible and shut the church down and try to get you to follow something else and get these other people out of the way. I want to say, we stand for the truth. And he says, Timothy, you continue thou. Thou. What's that? That's you. See, there's something called a personal responsibility. You continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know what's going to keep you in church? You know what's going to keep you on the right path? You know what's going to keep you from bowing to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar? This book right here. This book right here. You shut this book. Some of you haven't opened this book since last Sunday. Some of you haven't spent any time in this book. Some of you haven't spent but 3 minutes in prayer this week, and you wonder why you had trouble getting to church. You wonder why you find it so boring to be here. You wonder why you can't muster the strength to share the gospel or invite someone to church. Why? This book will keep you. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. I love it. It's profitable. All Scripture, not some, all. This Bible, this Scripture, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. You understand today? In the world, not of the world. Yeah. We're in the world, not of the world. It's easy for you to say. Easy to say, hard to do. I know that. But you and I must understand, we can continue, Paul says, of what you've learned, Timothy, of what I taught you, and especially following this book. You will stick by the stuff. You'll stand true. You'll stand strong. I must stop there. But you will keep to the faith. I want to encourage you with this week. Would you take time and ask God, Lord, help me to not be of the world. I have to be here. Brother Adam mentioned it, I think, last week. It's good. Boat on the water. That's its purpose. You take a boat, there's boats all around here. You see them sitting in the front yard with weeds growing all around them. They're not fulfilling their purpose. You go and mow your weeds and you mow around the old truck and the old boat, you're a redneck, right? That's how I am. Just mow around all the junk. That's not their purpose. You get the boat out on the water, that's its purpose. But when you get that water in the boat, then you got a problem. We're of the world. We're not in the world. We're in the world, not of the world. We follow through and say, God, I want to do what you've called me to do. Help me, Lord. We're going to look more at Daniel 3 next week and dive into more of this as we see these boys stood for what they knew was right. Now think about this. These boys stood in the midst of such wickedness and vileness. They were molested. They were mutilated. They were victimized in ways we can't talk about. And they said, you know what? We ain't going to bow to that nasty thing. That golden image, if you study it, they sacrificed babies to that image. They were committing immoral things at the feet of that image that are so nasty we can't even talk about. And those boys, it wasn't that they stood up and said, well, we're not supposed to worship any image. They saw all of this and said, we're not bowing to this nasty nonsense. Now, you will be called bigoted and racist and the DEI or DI, whatever that's called today that we're supposed to abide by. You can't say certain things about certain people. You'll be put aside. But you and I stand. And when we do, as Moses did, he chose to be with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. You may fit in for a while here. Well, I want to just keep my job. That's a good thing. What is it going to matter when you stand before God at the judgment seat? My friend, I want to ask you this today. Lastly, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Was there a time in your life when you said, Lord, I acknowledge and admit that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself? I've tried. I've tried to clean myself up. I've tried to do good works, Lord, but I know it's not good enough. I could never reach you. Your glory is too high. I need something to bridge the gap between a holy God and a sinful man. And God said, I've sent my Son as the propitiation for your sins. He's the payment for your sins. What bridges that gap? It's Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. Have you come to a point in your life when you've accepted Jesus? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We would boast in our works, wouldn't we? You say, Lord, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask you to save me. I repent of my sins. I turn from that and I turn to you and make you Lord of my life. Have you done that before? If you've never done that, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Those of you here that are saved, are you living for God? Do people know you're a Christian? Do people at the restaurant know you're a believer? Do people at the workhouse know you're a believer? Do people in your own family, that they may despise you and disdain you and mock you and laugh at you because you stand for the things of God? Do they know that? It's not easy. It's hard to do. But we can do it. And when you do it, you lay your head on your pillow at night and go, God, did I please you? And there's a warm feeling come over you, but the Holy Spirit says, you did. You did, my child. You did. Are you pleasing Him today? Would you stand with me? Thank you. I've gone, about 3 or 4 minutes over. I do appreciate you listening. A message that I needed today very much. It's so easy sometimes to just fit in, isn't it? In such a wicked world we live in. I want to encourage you with this. If there's something in your life you need to get rid of, something in your life you need to handle, would you do that? Maybe it's music, maybe it's movie, maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's some kind of hobby that you enjoy, something not inherently wrong, sinful necessarily, but just taking your attention away from God. It's taking your attention away from this book, away from spending time with Him. Your children need to see you serving God faithfully. Your grandchildren need to see it. All of us do. As Miss Amber plays us a few verses, and I ask you to just right where you are, ask the Lord to help you. If you need to come forward, the altar is always open. Would you spend some time with the Lord, please?